The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
All right, we're back. This is the National Intel Report's second hour, along with Steve Elkins in God's waiting room. The sandbar barely above sea level down there. And my friend out in Northern California that is going to slip into the redwoods when the stuff hits the fan, Ron McDonald. By the way, Ray, you know, I'm not picking on you here.
No, you can't hurt me as I travel all over.
Okay.
Everywhere I go in all 48 states, it's just so many people acquiesce. That's 1,000 people that just say, sure.
Yeah.
What do you got to hide?
Well, that's believing what that cop said. And to tell you the truth, I don't believe anything that comes out of a cop's face. Do you? Because you knew you didn't didn't have any drugs in that car. You knew that. That was your rental car.
I wouldn't know anything. That was a rental car, John. I'm asking Ron again back on contract. In your book, which I have, and I'll read again tonight and tomorrow, what I asked the officer, I said, I have a contract with Enterprise where you have a contract to interfere unless, as you say, probable cause. I demanded another dog,
right?
Because he loved that dog. So what I stated to him is, I'm not proceeding any further with you. But anyway, got me out of the car, took the handcuffs off, but put me back in the front, in the back seat again, as they're looking whatever they're looking for. They had things where they pull out of their trunk, they're looking down both doors, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So anyways, Ron, when I was out, I told him, you're going to hear from me. And I could see him eyeball to eyeball this time. And my question to you, is there any point of me with his business card to address his supervisor? Is there any, am I completely gone because I don't have a witness statement? Nothing will go on the record?
Well, if you can convince a jury, but a jury deals with facts. They're going to
I didn't want to go in that court. What I'm stating is that it would, when I was in a previous city, I had many times police abused me, and they had a civilian oversight where I formed my affidavit. It went into it as a complaint, Ron. What I'm asking, is there any point of having this business card if I correspond to his supervisor with a complaint, or there's no point?
I don't really see the point, and I'm basing it on the story you've told me. But realize one thing. If someone comes up to your car with a gun on the side of their body, don't you have fear for your life, no matter if it's a peace officer or a regular person? Wouldn't it be the first thing you would say, hey, I want a witness here. I want your supervisor here. If you're going to approach me, because you don't know what he saw. You don't know if he saw you do the U-turn. You don't know any of that stuff. And that's just a ticket at that point.
Sorry.
But wouldn't you have fear enough to say, hey, I better have a supervisor here because I don't trust this guy?
Hey, John, can I ask a question here?
Yes, please.
Right. Yeah, while Ron's here and Ray's still on the phone here, I've seen several videos on YouTube where going through checkpoints and things like that, and they didn't have probable cause, and they were just fishing, no doubt about it, they were just fishing. And my question to Ray would be, you did ask the question, may I leave? And they said no.
Yeah.
So you come back and say, I am being detained. And
correct,
if they say no, then I'm under arrest. If they said no, you're not under arrest,
correct,
then you go back again to, well, then I'm being detained. And they say no. He said, well, then I can leave. You keep going back and forth with them on this little routine of first base, second base. And I think after a while, they'll get the idea that, you know, this is not going to work. And then definitely, like Ron said, call your supervisor. I want your supervisor down here. But I agree with John and Ron off the bat. Roll down that window. The guy's got a piece on his hip there. I'm going to be a little bit careful. You don't know this officer. He could be a wild card there. And just simply say, you know, what's going on? Well, you have probable cause. And then get that witness, like Ron said and John said, get that witness.
See, real
down there.
Quickly.
Get that supervisor down
the
there.
The officer said, I'm giving you a warning. So it's hand him the driver's license. I'm giving you a warning. So I would normally, every time I've ever been stopped, I've never, ever left the car. I don't cause attention. But anyways, I had to leave the car. He demanded I leave. And everything you said. I said, am I free to go?
Yeah.
Am I being detained?
Yeah.
What is the charge? And that was endless. So,
by the way, Ray, I have a witness to that stop that I was referring to, that I had a 50 cal in the trunk of the car. Actually, it was no trunk.
Okay.
It's a hatchback with 3,000 rounds of ammunition. And that was Larkin, Texas.
Yes.
By the way, during that stop, guess what I didn't have? I had a 50 cal, but I didn't have a valid driver license. And I was allowed to go on my merry way. The look on Lark's face when I got out of that cop car, out of the front seat, and got into the driver's seat of my car to leave, the look on Lark's face is he didn't realize what just happened. He said, we're leaving?
Wow.
I said, yeah, we are. And I'll tell you, the cop asked me directly. I already knew nothing was going to happen because it was in that front seat. A cop is not going to risk his safety by allowing you within arm's reach of him, okay, if he's got ill intent. That stop that happened, they wanted to see if you're going to acquiesce and give away your rights. What you demonstrated was, hey, hang on here a second. You already knew, and obviously, it's a rental car. You don't know if that was used to haul drugs. You don't know if somebody was scared off and that car came across the Mexican border and there's 30 pounds
correct
of heroin in the damn doors. You didn't know.
Correct.
And I understand your concern there. But my point is the way I handled that cop, the cop asked me, he said, do you know your driver's license is expired? And I go, yeah, I know. And the look on his face, like, you know, I could see the question in his eyes. You mean to tell me you're driving around on an expired license? And he looked at me, and he said, you know your driver's license is expired? And I go, yeah. And the look on his face was, what? And I said, I'll tell you the reason why I didn't renew. I said, the information that's collected by the state is turned over to the Fed. And at the time, they had tried this in Texas, where they had the thumbprint. Okay, just one thumbprint for your driver's license for identification purposes. And I told him, I said, you know, that was bad enough. I said, at the time, and it has since been rescinded, but in Texas, the Driver License Bureau decided it'd be a good idea if they got all five fingerprints off of one hand. And I said, I'm not doing it because I know exactly where that information is going. It's going right over to the Fed's databases, and I'm having none of it. He looked at me. He looked at his ticket book, continued writing his ticket. He didn't give me a warning. He gave me a ticket, but he gave me a ticket to ride. And the difference being is the way I talked to that guy. For a few short minutes there, he wasn't a guy sitting there with life and death lording it over me. I was talking to that man as another human being.
Yep.
And he recognized
just real
that.
Quick, John.
Yeah.
The officer or the young gal, whatever, friendly, oh, this is a warning and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
I got all that. But anyways, if it's any news to you, my feeling toward the American public, yes, I do feel, as like my sister said, if you got nothing to hide, why would you not consent?
Yeah.
And I said, I would never consent.
Gotcha.
Hey, John,
so,
I got another question.
I'll leave
question.
You be.
Okay.
Question.
Thank you,
stay
Ray.
On there, Ray.
What?
Ray, tell Ray to stay on. I got a question for Ray. You still there?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Ron, tell me if I'm wrong here, but on one of these searches like this, this fishing, this trolling for business, would he been smart, like I said, roll down the window a little bit, tell him what's going on? The guy said, you know, this or that, and asked him to leave the vehicle to go back to his car. I think what I would have done, first of all, Ray, when you get off the phone here, definitely learn your cell phone, your smartphone. You've got a function on there that is so awesome. John mentioned it, recording the conversation. Know how to use that function before you ever get pulled over.
Yeah.
So you can just, while you're driving, reach over, hit it on video or audio to record the conversation and have it at the side there in the passenger seat. But, Ron, what about if Ray had rolled down the window a little bit, put his hands on the steering wheel so they can be seen in clear sight, and then say, call for your supervisor? I mean, he can't forcefully...
That's how it's supposed to be done.
Right. So he can't forcefully say, you have to get out. There's no threat. Ray's not a threat to him.
Right.
He simply wants another person there as a witness, and he's not a threat, so there's no reason for him to be violently pulled out of the car. The door is still locked. Hopefully your door is still locked, Ray, but I would put my hands on the steering wheel in clear sight and then say, and repeat over and over again, saying, I would like your supervisor down here as a witness.
And
that's what I would do.
And Ray?
I'd like to make one last comment.
Okay, Ray, hang on. Ray, you've been on this program now for a half hour. Hang on one second here. I appreciate us. But you're also, you took up one fourth of the 2 hours here. But at any rate, I mean, it's an important subject, and we're vetting this out thoroughly so people understand. Steve is exactly right. And what I would do, what I would say to you, if you're going to do the audio recording, keep the phone in your shirt pocket or as close proximity to your mouth and their mouth as humanly possible. Now, what happened there when you asked for the supervisor, whatever they were going to try to do, you know, when you asked for the second sniffing dog, because these two, there's two ways that these dogs are taught, to do the aggressive paw and bark and whatever, and the other is to sit, okay, and be passive. Now,
you did the first one.
Okay, yeah, the clawing and all that other stuff. That's generally how they
correct
do it. But I have personally witnessed stops where the dog just sat down because there was nothing for the dog to do once he did the go-around on the car. And they will say that, oh, well, that's the way he's trained. But what happened here, now that you ask for a supervisor, this is generally somebody of rank, corporal or at least sergeant. You might get a lieutenant or maybe even a captain. Depends on who's the watch and who's designated as being supervisor. What that supervisor is going to be reticent to do this. He is not going to want to show up on scene and then lie to cover those two clowns and the mistake that they made on a simple stop. He's not going to jeopardize his retirement because of them.
Yes, he was a sergeant, and he was extremely aggressive. He just wrenched me right out of the car.
Anyways,
I appreciate your time.
Okay,
thank
sir.
Thank you so much.
All right, Ray.
Bye.
Yeah. Seriously, I mean, folks, when was the last time you heard of somebody getting pulled over in the middle of the night, driving down a dark highway, nobody else on the road, gets pulled over by a state cop, and doesn't go to jail for, A, not having a driver's license, a valid driver license, and the cop didn't even ask me for permission to search my car. I treated him as if he's another human being that I could talk to. I didn't forget the fact that he's got this, I can sit and talk with you or draw up my weapon and turn your brain into human confetti, the force continuum. And what you said earlier, Ron, and you're exactly right, I'm one of these guys that have never been afraid to talk to the cops in any situation. I have gone behind steel locked doors in the middle of the night to talk to people, watch commanders at various police stations across this country, and laying out verbatim what the hell they're involved in and what they're being asked to do. Do you know, in any of these encounters, I never got that, oh, you're a frickin' Fruit Loop or whatever. What I got back from these guys was, you know, I'm going for my retirement. You know, I'm just trying to be, you know, on the down low here and just get the hell out of Dodge. And my retort to that, and I got this on more than one occasion, my retort back to that is, you have kids? Yeah. What are you leaving them? You might be ducking out, ducking your responsibility of being an American. Forget that you're a cop. Forget all of that stuff. You're a human being. You have children. If we do not do something about this now, if you do not take part in the resistance of this, this is what you're leaving your kids and their kids, namely your grandchildren. Yeah. It leaves them very uneasy, but I have never had a problem any time in any place. But, Ron, I'm starting to get to the point where I don't even want to see these guys. I really don't want to talk to them. You know, I've always been that way with feds. I will not encounter these guys and talk directly to them. But it's getting to the point that this madcap crap that's going on, they're being allowed to be as aggressive as they are. This is not an accident. This is just not some rogue or overzealous military guy that wants to accomplish his mission. This is a matter of course in today's policing in the police state. And it's got to stop.
And that's why you have to play it smart. When you know, everyone should call for a supervisor when they're stopped by any officer. That's your right. You have a right to have the witness there and have the responsible managing officer there for the officer's acts, whether legal or not legal.
Yeah. By the way, Francis and Patrick, guys, hang on a second here. I want to do the story quickly. Ray was on, and I hope that was instruction for other people listening to the program. What we are saying here are tried and true practices that's going to get your butt out of a jam. Let me just put it to you simply. You're a private individual against this machine. Play your cards as best you can. You can't call the game, but you can play your cards the best that you can. Independence, Kansas, a man who should be celebrated as a hero for saving his wife, daughter, and at least 30 strangers from an armed gunman during an attempted robbery. Well, guess what? He's now recovering from a gunshot wound. Well, it wasn't a criminal that shot him. It was the other criminal with a badge. After police arrived at the scene and shot him. Mike Becker, 31, told the Kansas City Star that he grabbed his handgun and rushed to a local Dollar General after he received a call from his wife saying that she, their 4-year-old daughter, and several other customers in the store were being threatened by a man with a gun. While the customers huddled together in the back of the store, Becker's wife hid their daughter behind bags of dog food. When Becker arrived, he said he found the government gunman outside pounding on the glass door. "The only thing in my mind was my baby and my wife," Becker said, describing how he intervened and put his body between the gunman and the glass. There was no way the gunman was getting in that store. When police officers finally arrived at the scene, Becker told the Star that he dropped his gun and raised his hands in the air in an attempt to show police he was not a threat. And again, this is the proper thing this guy did. But then the unthinkable happened. Even though Becker had his hands in the air, the officers shot him with a rifle, wounding his hip. Bystanders who witnessed the scene said they were shocked to watch officers shoot the man who was brave enough to confront the gunman. This is what he told the Raymond Watts, told the Star. He said, "I was figuring, how the hell did they shoot him? He never pointed a gun at the cop. He complied with everything that they said. And then you heard a pop." Police eventually arrested the gunman, but despite the fact that witnesses claimed they were yelling at the officers and telling them they shot an innocent man, the officer still proceeded to put Becker in handcuffs, and they refused to let his wife even come close to him. In a statement, the Independence Police Department claimed it's investigating an officer-involved shooting that occurred outside the Dollar General after officers received a call of an armed subject. The statement did say that while no officers were injured, two subjects were shot, and they were both transported to area hospitals with injuries. However, the statement also claimed that both of the men who were shot by police were armed. It failed to admit that one of those men dropped his firearm on the ground and raised his arms in surrender before he was shot by the cops. Now, another witness to the shooting, Whitney Thomas, also told the Kansas City Star that Becker's gun was clearly on the ground at the time the police opened fire. His gun was on the ground. He didn't have it in his hands any longer, Thomas said. Thomas was inside the store at the time the gunman arrived when she said that she heard a Dollar General employee on the phone telling police dispatcher that the suspect was slender, wearing a green jacket, and looked to be in his 50s. Well, Becker's 20 years younger, heavy set, and is wearing a black jacket. Thomas said that this led her to question why police would shoot a man who was not only not posing a threat to anyone, but who also did not match the description of the suspect. There's more to this story. If you want to read more on it, go to the website republicbroadcasting.org. But, Ron, to your statement earlier, I'm going to assume that these guys aren't going to get it right. And what I'm not going to gamble with is my life.
That's it.
That's what I'm not going to gamble with. Because you know what you get when you get somebody shot and killed by one of these guys? Well, there might be a lawsuit that's filed. But that's only after you're toe-tagged. That's only yes. after you're cold in the morgue. And you know what? I've never seen a bag full of money resurrect any man.
No. You should always treat an officer as hostile as if you're driving and you're in a car.
Okay. Well, okay. And again, I don't treat them as hostile. I know what they're capable of doing. But I will not treat them in a hostile manner.
Oh, no. Don't treat them as...
I knew you were going to clarify that. That's why I brought it up. Francis in North Carolina. Hello, Francis.
Hey, fellas. I'm a little late tuning in, for that matter, so you have to excuse my sense of naiveness at the moment. But, I feel for the for Becker getting shot and all that, and quite frankly, I wonder if the officer was colorblind, for that matter, given the description and color of garment. So, but aside from that, since I am late coming into the conversation, hearing what happened with Ray, my question is this. What exactly happened that caused Ray to go through this scenario? Was he driving? Was he in a stop?
Yeah, you did miss it, Francis. He made an illegal U-turn on the expressway. Which gave them the probable cause to pull him over. Because he did break a law.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
All right, well, I appreciate you clarifying that. At least I know what not to do down the road in the future should that situation arise.
Yeah, and some people, Francis, will tell you, you know, don't do the felony look. Many people, when they see a cop, they'll look directly at him. And I've had people tell me, don't do that. You know, look straight ahead. Don't ever look at the cop. That's called a felony look. It's somehow that you're afraid by looking at this man in uniform that if you look at him, something bad is going to happen. It's never bothered me.
Well, if I have to deal with an officer as a vehicle, the question is, why was I pulled over? And two, yes, I am going to look at them so I can see who it is I'm talking to. Now, if the officer takes offense to it, well, guess what? You came to the door, the window of the door. What do you expect me to do? I'm not going to look straight ahead.
You know, to the chagrin of many police officers, the deeds of the ne'er-do-wells are posted all over YouTube.
And, well, that's true, too.
And what it causes. Again, some of these cops, they joke about it when they're being filmed. Well, am I going to end up on YouTube? Yeah, if you're an asset, you damn bet you're going to end up on YouTube. Okay? That's a given. But these cops, and I'm trying to get here to the point that the administrative state is allowing this conduct to continue. Francis, I think you might have remembered a couple of weeks ago, we reposted the video on republicbroadcasting.org of the guy that was in the hotel with his girlfriend that the cops showed up and just gunned him down in the hallway of the hotel. That was egregious. What happened to those cops was absolutely nothing. And that guy was complying with all it. He was crapping his pants. He was so scared.
I recall the video, and I was absolutely disgusted, but quite frankly, it's very apparent that the officers were absolutely shameless, regardless of what happened or who did. As far as that video goes, and the fact that it was made to look as though he was the only one there when there was other officers
right.
with him that could have went and took care of the young man as far as handcuffing goes while he was standing there with the gun over the
You know what?
Man.
And Francis, if I'm that afraid for my safety, you know what? I don't belong in a damn uniform. How these guys are conducting themselves in civil action is as a military man would act on a battlefield. And that
and
is...
they shouldn't.
You're damn right they shouldn't.
They should not be wearing that garment nor the badge or anything.
No, because you know, I understand the role of the police. They get a call. They've got to assess and take action according to their training. But I'm asking the question, who is doing the training to these guys that are so trigger happy that they can murder people? They can murder people right in front of God and all his people. It can be put on YouTube and it goes global and nothing happens to these guys. There is a bigger agenda behind this in the police state. They're not going to modify their behavior until the public itself tells them, you know what? You're not going to do this anymore. You're not going to do this anymore.
Yeah. I guess you just simply call them the untouchables.
No. They're you just got to figure out where, and it's all a matter of timing, what buttons to push and when. If you survive the stop or you survive the encounter, there are always options in the future that you can take. But the key thing here is you're alive to take those actions. Thank you for your call, Francis. I appreciate it. Patrick in Oklahoma. Hello, Patrick.
Wow, John, this is amazing. I hear you so much, and I can't believe I'm actually talking to you. Good things, good things. Listen, you know, this is something that really strikes a nerve with me. What you're dealing with, what we all are dealing with, are a bunch of people coming back from wars that we just can't get away from and getting jobs. They take their security clearances. They take their military training, and your local police outfits don't have to do the background check. It's already done, so they save money. Okay?
Yeah.
And what else gets me in the process of all of this is I think all of us are spoiled with what you do, and I think you deserve time to finish your sentences. That was perturbing.
Well, and I was going to give the guy the time, and the story kept dragging out. That's why I made the comment, and I was hoping that Patrick would pick up on the hint that most babies are made in this world faster than he can tell his story.
That's why I called.
Yeah.
Listen, I got a dash cam, okay?
Yeah.
And that dash cam goes to Dropbox. So they can fuddle with the SD card all they want. And I got a phone. If they pull me over and I'm out of service, I'm done. Those cops kill people. People need to understand they have to stop the bootlicking. They have to stop worshipping uniforms.
Yeah.
This thank you for your service garbage.
Of which, okay? By the way, Patrick, you got a heavy slathering dose yesterday. If you watched the Super Bowl, of how much and how much do you know? We're right up with the police state and the military and their gold fringe flags and all their crap and the flyovers.
Nope, not for me, buddy. Listen, I did my 10 years honorably, okay? I walked away.
Yeah.
I ETS'd. End of contract, homeboys. Yeah. No more.
What
I'm
branch?
I'm not helping you.
What branch?
Army.
What branch?
Army.
Okay.
I've been to the Middle East so many times, I speak Arabic. I've had it, all right?
Patrick,
nothing wrong with this.
Patrick, let me ask you a question here. And it goes to what was said earlier, that here's the guys that they don't need to be vetted, they don't need any psychological screening. You know, we take the warrior that has come back from the Middle East. He's what we need. We put him in uniform when we throw him on the streets of America. You heard me talk about and how this information was made public. No place else did I ever recognize that this information was put out in the general media, but it was put out in a fashion that was tied to car repair and for a vet that had killed himself. These guys that are coming back from the Middle East, if we have 102,000 of these guys that were just so destitute and many of them guilt-ridden to the point they couldn't even continue their lives and they took their own, what is out there running around in uniform right now in the streets of America?
I'll tell you. Okay? These are a bunch of knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing people that got paid to do dirty work. And they got promoted, and they got medals, and they've got an Army pension, and they've got VA benefits rolling into their checking account, and this cop paycheck is icing on the cake, and if you ask them how they're doing, they're going to say, living the dream, bro, living the dream. I've seen it so many times, I could speak volumes. But then I can
hear the raw emotion in your voice, Patrick.
Dude, they're thugs. They are thugs.
Right.
And you will die if you play your cards wrong. They will kill you.
Patrick, I appreciate your call. Thank you, my friend. Stay strong. Keep walking and talking. Folks, the way to fix this problem is more people voice their opinions. Not going to be done with guns. These people need to be cornered and exposed.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Gentlemen, I was thinking about this during the break. I had a name that was recognized within the militias of this country. What we saw out at Malheur was the militia at large that showed up. It was an armed protest, but if you notice something, nobody got shot except Lavoy Finicum, which, by the way, there's a story on republicbroadcasting.org. I suggest you folks go and read it. The FBI told the cops, the state police, and anybody else that was involved in that not to wear body cams. There were to be no witnesses. Now, the point of me saying this is over the years, we had some zealous people that had had enough. You'd heard it 1,000 times. Well, this has gone way past, and I've had enough. Well, there were some guys out there, heads of militia, that were a little hot-headed and would have led their troops into battle, and off we go. What is transpiring now, right now, is the end result of my endeavors over the years, telling these guys, not yet. Not yet, and I'll tell you the reason why. Now, and I'm just using this as an example, Ray, he had an option. If he had the other option, maybe he just got pissed off and I've had enough of this, and then here we go. to the credit of the militias, the established militias in this country, they paid heed. They know the time is not right. And by doing an action other than that, you would set yourself up to be pasted as a right-wing extremist, a terrorist, if you will, an enemy combatant at the very least. And what would happen at that point is you would be shuffling off this mortal coil. This is an education process. As many times as I have had to grit my teeth so hard I could hear my molars cracking, I knew it was the right approach to this. In the face of this police state that you now see formed in front of you, the exact wrong thing to do right now would be pull out a gun and shoot one of their stupid asses. They have shown restraint. They have gotten in the business of informing other people as to what is going on. And we're literally building an army in this country of people that have had enough, but they're not going to do it by violent means. Once we go there, and I'm not saying, and now don't think for a second, that I'm going to sit here and say, I'll never pick up a gun in defense of it. That's not my point here. We have to build an army of educated people. What form of government do we have? What does a constitution really mean? What has the administrative state done? How have they transformed this? We do this by collective knowledge, and we start shoving this right back in their faces. No, we're not going to take this anymore. And by the way, Joe Blow over here understands that, and Sally standing over there understands it. It's the person, you, the person that doesn't understand it. And you've been given permission, force continuum, as to just have a nice quiet conversation with me, or pull out your service weapon and blow my bloody head off. You do not fight this cancer with more cancer. You fight it with knowledge, and yes, I will use the term patience. We are buying time for the American people to get together to put this whole damn cabal down. What you're seeing out in the streets right now, these encounters with these armed cops with an attitude, that's just the front dummies. That's just the troops in the streets. These are the guys that have been trained to react in these scenarios the way you see them repeatedly act. It's the quiet getting together with other people and pushing back. I've seen you. I've seen what you've done. And you know what? You're not going to do it anymore. And you will see time after time after time. Case in point, Steve?
Yes.
The incident that happened in Colorado where the guy showed up and said, hey, I want this guy's blood.
Right.
What happened? That nurse resisted to the point that she was going to be arrested. She wasn't. But those cops have been bounced. Yep. It's been made an example to the other blue, the boys in blue, in that thin blue line, that you know what? This wasn't some raving maniac, some conspiracy theory. It was a nurse in a hospital that said no. And it went viral, and other people learned of it. To the Colorado police, it was an embarrassment, and it had to be dealt with.
Right. John, can I make a comment? Oh, go ahead, Ron. Go ahead first.
The witnesses that were there in Ray's case stood by and did absolutely nothing. Did not video record, did not come to the aid of that fellow citizen. They just allowed it to happen.
By the way, the story, Ron, I'm sorry, I got to interject this at this point. The video, you need to go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org, about the guy that the cops shot, that the people on the ground there were yelling at the cops. That's not the guy. Somebody did, in fact, video that. And it hit YouTube and went viral all over the place. I'm sorry, I had to interject that.
No, the guy just won his lawsuit, didn't he?
I don't know if one's been filed yet, but I can guarantee you there will be.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, and that's what we've been brainwashed into being bystanders versus actively achieving our liberties when we see a fellow citizen being deprived of their liberties.
Yeah. And we've got to come to the, you know, I've got people that are calling me that have things that are going on right now with Child Protective Services. People showing up, just busting in on people, arresting people, just doing the same old crap that until this stuff is brought to light, it will continue. But this is the cancer within the administrative system. And this is the cancer that has to be cut out. It has to be excised. Just like a spirit demon, it's got to be done away with. Yeah. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, let me make a comment real quick here. I hope Ray is still listening. And that, you know, there's a reason why there's red lights and blue lights on those police cars. They've done some studies on that. And that actually puts the fear in most people. And yep. It actually raises your blood pressure. And it's a little psychological game, mm-hmm. those lights in your rearview mirror. And, you know, when they come up alongside your vehicle, too, in the daytime and they have the dark glasses, you can't see their eyes. That's another little psychological game. Yep. Where they're just looking around your car, they're looking at you, and what you got to do, and it's probably hard to say, but yet what you have to do is you have to keep your smarts, your head straight on, and that you can't be intimidated and you can't lose your head. Ron's right, you got to talk politely. John, you got to talk politely. These guys, I mean, they could just go off on you. We've seen that happen time and time again. But, you know, this is a little psychological game with the lights and the glasses, and so you have to be careful.
Not only the red and blue lights, what happens after dark? You get the spotlights. You're flooded with spotlights. Right. What happens when an incident happens and they all start ganging up? They all start showing up in their patrol cars with the lights going. The sirens are always left running. Why? Nope. The time that verbal communication between police officers and their subjects should be heard clearly, what's allowed to go on? The wailing of the sirens, the confusion, the panic, everything else. We're here to take control, and by God, we don't give a damn if you can hear us or not. We're from the police, and you will submit. Otherwise, you will die. It's all bullshit. My apologies, folks. My apologies.
John, you can say bull on air.
No, I can't.
Think you can. No, you can say bull. Bull.
Okay. I usually say bull, capital S with a hit. But I'm impassioned about this. I've been involved with this for many, many, many years. And I know this is not easy for some people, because some of the people that are listening to this program right now have actually lost loved ones to an overzealous cop that nothing ever happened to them.
Yeah.
All right.
Ron, we had a little case in Santa Rosa there, didn't we, a couple of years back, on a young 13-year-old walking along the road there?
Yes, yes.
And that was a very bad shooting, that was covered up in Santa Rosa. 13-year-old boy walking home with one of those guns that have the
toy gun. Yeah,
toy gun, had earbuds in his ears, a little music going on. And if you look at all the entrance exit wounds, the kid turned just to look to see what was going on. And they unloaded on this kid, 13 years old.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it is. By the way, I've got the lines are loaded. I'm going to skip the last break here. I skipped one because Ray ran a little bit long here. But, folks, some of you yesterday couldn't log in to the website. And the reason being is because our ICANN address had expired. And the company that I have the registration through with, they were emailing me, but it was going to my junk email, which I've got a couple of 100,000 junk emails. I even stopped bothering emptying out the damn folder. But yesterday morning, evidently, our website had disappeared. At 1 o'clock, 1:30 this morning, I'm on the phone to the people getting this thing resolved and reinstated. And I had another story to tell you about the bank. I mean, I just absolutely went off. If nobody has noticed, on Friday, stock market was down. The Dow Jones, exactly 666 points. I'm sure that's just an accident. Today, biggest drop intraday trading. That's not how the market closed, but intraday trading. The Dow Jones was down 1,600 points. So the culmination between the two, I think the market closed down 1,200 and some odd points down, okay, for almost 1,800 over a two-day period. Guess what happened to Bitcoin? Bitcoin bit the dust as well. It was down to about 6,000. Stocks are not backed by anything, and Bitcoin is not backed by anything. And what they did is they took the opportunity to, again, suppress any gains that the gold and silver market, if you look at it, it went right back. I'm not going to let you people have the idea that real gold and silver is real money. They're still playing this game. And unfortunately, Mr. Trump just appointed Janet Yellen's out. I don't have the guy's name or the new guy. But coincidentally, you know, no coincidence. They've been pumping money into the stock market. They're quantitative easing. They're plunge protection boys, if you will. They're running out of room to further indebt us, okay? And what's happening here is you're going to see the market further correct as to where it should be. Okay, I just want to let people know that we're fully aware, and I'm watching this very closely. But unfortunately, last November, I cashed a check at the bank. They accepted the check, and then they couldn't find it. They debited my account $1,000, and that put me in a hole. And in my, not drug-induced, but my fever-induced delirium, I'd actually paid 2 months in our satellite, and I didn't pay the rent. These guys decided in an agreement that I had had for several years that my rent payments were no longer late and I was no longer assessed payments. I sent it to the satellite people and not to the people that have the contract for the rent here. Make a long story short, I'm popped inside out about $3,000 or $4,000. And folks, I'm telling you, we need to continue what we're doing. Because I'm seeing a lot of people out there, they were telling the world Friday that, hey, the Super Bowl, there's going to be a false flag, 100 million people around the world are going to be embarrassing Donald Trump. I knew it was bull, capital S, with a hit when I heard it, playing more on the fear factor and claiming that, well, the reason why it didn't take place is because we put it out there. They're not worried about some people noticing. Trust me, folks, I've watched their modus operandi for many, many years. The least of their problems is somebody getting a little tip and putting it out there somewhere on YouTube. This is, you're fighting a monster with a damn toothpick. And like little pushins, what did they do to the, didn't they finally get this guy tied down? Didn't they, guys?
Not sure. Who was that? Lily
Pushins.
Having a clue.
I don't know.
Gallagher. Was it Gallagher? Did you say Mike? Huh? What? Gulliver's Travels. Thank you.
Gulliver.
Okay. Lily Pushins. Okay. Who are the ones that tied the giant down?
Got it.
Yeah, okay. Got it. I got a front and I got a back seat driver and they leave me out to hang. They just threw me out the express. They threw me out the window. I'm driving 80 miles an hour.
I'm hearing Gallagher. I'm thinking the melon smashing guy, you know?
Yeah. Gulliver. Yeah. I was thinking the melon smashing guy, too. Gulliver.
Oh, my God. Gulliver. See, this is what happens when you have one Californian and one ex-Californian on the show at the same time. No, just teasing. But, guys, look, we need to stay on the air, and we need your help. Either we're going to do this. I had one guy that was working with FrontSight. Well, I haven't heard boo out of him because he hasn't heard boo. And this was to be a fundraiser for this network. We're trying everything that we can. But I'm telling you, once we go dark, we will not have the money to go turn the light on again. Folks, I'm telling you, from the voice of experience over many years, I know exactly what's going on out there. And we're proceeding to fight the beast, but do it in a way that you don't just martyr yourself and make you the sacrificial lamb. We will win this fight. We will win it. Of that I have no doubt. Liberation Day, yeah, it should have happened a long time ago. Is it going to happen tomorrow? Probably not. But it will happen one time in the future, but we've got to have the discretion and the God-given sense to know when to strike. This thing, by the way, that happened out at Malheur for the Bundys, that didn't happen by plan. People heard about it. They decided, hey, what are we going to do about this? And that was the militia that was out there that took no federale's life, if you've noted. The only person that lost his life was Lavoy Finicum. And by the way, guys, the officer that did that one, the FBI guy from the HURT team, hostage rescue team, he's going to go down. But the media is not talking about it. All this stuff is quietly boiling on the back burners, and they don't want to talk about it. It is we that are talking about it, we that are informing other people, and we're starting to do things against them that they don't like. We're pushing back against them. But this is a unwieldy, nasty beast, and we've got to be careful. We don't have the resources or the manpower to expend willy-nilly. We'll do our surgical strikes back at them. But what is happening is the people that heretofore would not listen to us before, they're now listening, and they're listening closely. They're gaining strength from our character. And we will win this one. By God in heaven, we will win it. So folks, you got to help us stay on the air. We represent a lot of people of varied opinions one way or another, but we're all striking at the same root. Please do not let this go away. Please. Call us, 800-724-2719. Hit extension 3. Make a donation. Do what your heart's telling you to do right now, okay? Go to our website. Hit the donate button at the top of the page. That goes to PayPal. You do not have to be a member, and it accepts damn near every credit card. We can only accept 2 if you call in to make a credit card donation. We can only accept, for sure, Visa or MasterCard. Discovery, yeah, sometimes it'll take it, sometimes it won't. But folks, we're here, and we're one of the last bastions of resistance, and we're continuing to build the resistance. Knowledge is power. Yeah, does gun and lead and powder have power? Yeah, it does. But it's easily extinguished. But understand something. We're in this for the long haul. And we will win this damn thing. It's going to take more hands to make light work of this. Make no mistake about it. But we're not arbitrarily going out there and willy-nilly just shooting that guy or this guy, because what you're going to do is you're going to give power to the beast and the excuse to kill you. And by God in heaven, even Richard Dreyfuss has it. Even he had it right. I played that clip for a reason. Even a movie star is getting the idea of how to combat the beast, and that's through education. Are you listening? Do you have your ears open, folks? Do you have your hearts open? You have your minds open. We only get one shot at this. And when the time is right to strike back, it's got to be effective and it's got to be total. But that's only going to happen. All right. It's only going to happen with persistence and patience. We cannot afford any setbacks. And what the people showed you at Mal here in defense of the Bundys, they had had enough, but they weren't bloodlusting. They weren't out there jumping up and down. There were federal agents, provocateurs, that were out there that couldn't move these people to violence. But they were not going to die. They were not going to die that day. No shots were fired at them, and they fired none back. These chicken crap individuals decided to take out one of the leaders, as they perceived him, Lavoie Finicum. And on my word, as a man, Mr. Finicum, if you're listening, your death is not in vain. Understand that. It is not in vain. Steve in San Luis Obispo, California, which I can barely say the name. Go ahead, Stephen.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Hi.
Listen, you asked a while ago, who is it that's training these cops? Well, I think you know the answer to that.
Yes.
And increasingly, more and more of them are being trained in Israel.
Yes.
Another thing, I'm going to try to make myself as concise as possible. You know, what we need to do is when these cops go off like this, they kill somebody, they get sued, the money from that lawsuit needs to come out of their pension.
Yes, yes.
I can't think of any other way to actually, you know, hit them where it hurts. And, as far as Malheur goes, half of those guys were feds anyways. I feel like the real thing we need to focus on is what happened that day in the wash and bunker Nevada, and you know, people like Eric Parker, who I don't know how it happened that crooked judge did the right thing. I know she didn't want to.
Well, no,
I saw.
Yeah, Stephen, I've explained that my opinion on this was that they were screwed and they knew it. They had seen what the federal prosecutors had done, and if they were to continue this, especially with all of what's going on in Washington, the issue of whose land is it anyhow and who has the rights to it, they, and on the Lavoie Finicum being murdered, and that's all that it was, he presented no threat to these guys. They had, the judge had to dismiss it with prejudice. They couldn't let it go on any longer because even the jurors that were seated before wanted back into the courtroom to witness the travesty. That's why the judge kicked it out.
Yeah, I was in there for the first trial. I saw an old man get dragged out of the courtroom because he had a constitution in his pocket.
That's right.
That was visible.
The same thing happened to Hoppy Heidelberg over the Oklahoma City bombing. Same exact thing. These feds, their attitude, well, and the federal prosecutors have not changed. You're the enemy combatant.
Yeah. All right, John, talk to somebody else. Do me a favor and shoot me back to Mike so I, if that's who's still in the booth. I want to give you some money.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Stephen. I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate what you do, man.
Okay. Folks, there's got to be a sane voice out there in the wilderness, and I'm not a chicken crap individual. When the time comes, I am putting my life on the line. But I'm trying to buy more time so we can do some more educating. This is why I was so upset a couple of years ago when people were starting to get politically correct and started to dummy up and would not speak. This is exactly what we need to do. We need to keep walking and talking and educating because the only thing that we're doing is proving ourselves to be correct. And you know, the globalist asshats can't have that, can they? We will get this country back. I swear, I'm putting my life, the only thing that I have, on the line, and I'm going to continue to do it. People, jeez, guys, people have said to me repeatedly, even the guy, and thank you, Cal, for your visit this past week, a supporter of the network. He just sat there and just kept shaking his head, and he goes, I don't know how you're doing it. I know how I'm doing it, because it must be done. It must be done. We, gentlemen, are out of time, and I've got loaded phones here. Let me take one more here quickly. Keith Rogers, I'm running out of time. I'm about ready to steal the next hour here, but go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, I'm just going to say real fast, John. I carry a bunch of printouts for law enforcement that I meet, and of course, I'm actually at an advantage here because I have all the antennas on my truck and the red lights and stuff for the emergency services, but I show them exactly how the drugs are coming in this country, how the DHS has armed all these cartels, how the Fast and Furious has killed U.S. law enforcement.
Yeah.
But I usually walk up to them and I say, hey, you got a minute there? And I just hand them the papers there and let them flip through them. And they say, I didn't know this.
And a lot of them don't. Keith, I hate to cut you off, man, but I am out of time.
All right, go ahead,
all right, man.
All right, son, you take care.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Gentlemen, Steve, you will be back here next Monday, right?
Yes, correct. I will.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Three amigos.
Okay. Three amigos. Ron McDonald, thank you, my friend.
Hey, thank you, John.
All right. And I want to thank you folks for being here. I'm telling you, this battle is only heating up, and we are going to win. We're going to win because we have to.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extend.
extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.